He gave us a promise. Thank you, Jesus, that if we will seek Him, hallelujah, we will find Him.
If you don't know you better,
ask somebody.
If you don't know,
ask somebody.
So you may even go and look at somebody and ask them, right? Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for Sunday's message. And we thank God for being a good God. When you got those catchy sayings, you don't forget the message. I've been trying to work on catchy things. I just don't catch. Amen. But bless the Lord. We do thank God. Amen. For His goodness and mercy. How many remember our theme for the year?
Believing God against all
odds. How many know that sometimes the odds seem like they're going to wear us out? Amen. When you look at all the odds stacked against you, you say, where is God? Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job said, I go to the right, and he's not there. Job said, I go forward, God is not there. He said, I go backward. He said, I even go in the midst of the people where God is working, but for some reason, I can't. But Job said, but he knows. How many know he knows? He knows the way that I take, and at the end, I shall come forth as gold. We bless the Lord tonight, and we just thank God for all that He's doing, amen. And the scriptures say, I have not seen, ear, and neither has it entered into the
hearts,
not the minds, but the what? The hearts of man, what God has prepared for them that, how many love the Lord? Can we give God a wave offering? Then God has some things prepared for you that you haven't seen, that you don't know, and that you don't understand, but you gotta believe God, amen. Too, we thank God for my wife, amen, and we thank God for everyone that's here, and we just thank God for what He's doing. Now, tonight we're not dealing with don't fall asleep, spiritually, but don't fall asleep
physically,
amen. Sometimes when you work hard and you sit down, your wife's like, huh, I've been waiting for this all day, amen, but just stay tuned for a few more minutes, amen. I won't keep you long, but we just want to honor the Lord and all that He's doing. You know, every day that I live, I try and show God greater appreciation for what God has done for me. I'm not really a workaholic like some people have said in the past, but I just want to show God the gratitude that I have for what God has done for me. Amen. When I look around and I see people with challenging health conditions, I praise the Lord. Amen. I've had some slow moments, but God knows I was still moving. Amen. Somebody said, why don't you take some time off? I said, because God don't take time off of me. Now, I'm telling y'all what I do. All right. I told somebody, all y'all old folks, y'all can't do what I do. Right, Deacon George? Right? I think Deacon George is like 2 months older than me, but he's still older. Right? Old folks can't do what I do, and normal folks don't do what I do. But as I said, I show God gratitude, amen, because when I just look around and behold and see all that people are going through, and I see people that want to be used, and you got pastors and preachers in nursing homes and in health facilities, I just want to thank God that I have an opportunity. Somebody said, I believe I'll praise the Lord. I believe I'll work for God while I, because I may not have a chance anymore. So I just show God I'm grateful. Amen. And how do you show God you're grateful? We can talk it, but it's better to show it. Amen. The Bible says faith without
works
is what? Faith without works is dead. Amen. So our message tonight, Sister Kim asked me for the title of the message. I don't even know the title of the message. Amen. But I know I did have a title, but as I was going home to change from church, it changed. So they have a horse with no name. Right? You ever heard of the horse with no name? No, I have a title. My wife looked disgusted at that when she said, what? It has a name. Would you put your name on it? Amen. But the central theme of the message tonight is dealing with love. Amen. The central theme of the message is dealing with love. Amen. And the scripture says, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. God is what?
Love.
And if you want to be like God, you got to show
love.
God is love. And what we went over last week and on last Wednesday and Sunday was the way that you know that you're asleep or you're awake is how do you show love? Amen. So if we were to have a title for our message tonight, it's that love covers and pardons. Love covers and pardons. And we use the scripture to show you what that means. Amen. And we're going to contrast love with a spirit of judgment. Thank God that we don't judge. Can we say praise the Lord? I know somebody says, I might judge a little bit. Amen. But we're going to contrast love with judgment. Because love covers and pardons. Judgment uncovers and holds on to. Love covers and pardons. Judgment uncovers and it holds on to, and we'll deal with first with the principle of it, and then we'll actually go to the actual working of it through the scripture. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 1 John chapter 4. You said we were there last time. We met there again. Amen. Last time we dealt with the beginning of 1 John chapter 4, beginning portions of it. Now we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 7 through, verses 7 through 10. Let's read verses 4 through 10 of 1 John chapter 4. Amen. Once again, God's love will cover you. Amen. The scripture said, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Amen. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 reads, ye are of God, little children. Isn't that nice how John said? He was writing to adults. But in the faith, he said, you're just a little child. And have overcome them because greater is he that is in than he. Who is in us?
God.
In the form of the Holy Ghost. So he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, for therefore they
speak.
What are we speaking about? Amen. We have God, so we got to speak about God. And the world, we are of God. He that knoweth God, we are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the
spirit.
So truth is a spirit and error is a spirit. Amen. Beloved, let us what?
Love.
For love is and everyone that loveth is and if you don't show love, you're not born of God. And you don't know God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his into the world that we might live. And we have a clue with verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
word of the Lord, bless our brethren.
And you may be seated. If you love, you know God. But if you love not, you don't know. Now we're not talking about the world's definition for love. We're talking about the scriptural definition for love. For the scripture said, for God so
loved.
For God, not a man, not anybody. For God so loved the world that he. You know what that scripture really means? God loved you so much that he gave himself. So when you love, you don't hold on. You give yourself. So God so loved the world. But we're going to focus on verse, in particular, verse 10. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Anybody need to get up and walk around? I know. Who get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work? Some people get up a little earlier than that, right? We get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you come to church at 7, that's like 13 hours later. Your body is saying, you think I'm going to sit here and listen? I'm going to say, I know. Because I get up early and about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, my body's like, okay, it's time for you to take a nap. That's what I did all the time I was in high school and college. 3 o'clock, I always took my naps. And I trained my body that way for years. So even if I'm driving, I take a nap. The good thing is I try to make sure my wife is with me because she just keeps me going. She called my name so much she just annoys me awake. I tell her, she's like, why are you sleeping? I said, I'm not really sleeping. I'm sleeping with the one eye for a while. Then I open up and sleep in the other eye. Amen. But that's just the way I trained myself for years. I slept in the afternoon, so I know what it's like. So I might get y'all to laugh a little while I wake y'all awake. I wake you up, right? So if I see y'all getting tired, I'll throw something your way to wake you up. Amen? But verse 10 says, herein is. Now we're trying to identify not our version of love. Because if we go by our version of love, we are all men, most miserable. But God said, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the this word propitiation is also the same word for the mercy seat. The mercy seat was where the sins of the people was covered. So the word propitiation is a Hebrew word to means to cover and to pardon. Right? So God loved us so much that he sent his son to be our sin sacrifice so that he could cover us, and then after he covered us, he pardoned us. And the scripture, if you want a scripture reference, the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission. Means you are guilty. You committed to sin, but God covers that sin and forgives you as though you never committed it. Right? So propitiation means that God will remit your sin, though you are guilty, and though you deserve the penalty, but thank God we don't get the penalty, because the Bible says the wages of sin is
death.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
If we went by what the scripture said, we would all have to die. But God loved us so much that he gave himself. The scripture says that God loves us so much that he wrapped himself in humanity. Amen. He said, my own born for salvation. And my fury. Hallelujah. God loved us that much that he gave. I wonder, in us showing love, do we like to take or do we give? So propitiation means your sins are covered. Now, just for a brief moment, go to Psalms chapter 32. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 32. Amen. We're talking about covering sins. All right? And then after Psalm 32 and 1, we're going to contrast that with Proverbs 28:13. Amen? Are y'all with me? And we're talking about how love does what? Covers. And love says, you know what, you're guilty. You know, if, thank God we don't do it in the church, but let's use the world. Let's use the world for an example. When somebody in the world mess up, they ain't no love because we don't pardon. The world always brings that mess up back to the forefront. How many glad you're in church? So if I mess up yesterday, I don't have to hear about it today because of what? Love. Don't get quiet on me. All right. So Psalms 32 and verse 1 reads, blessed is he whose the transgression is what? Forgiven. And whose sin is covered. So if your transgressions are forgiven and your sins are covered, the scriptures say you are blessed. Somebody say, I'm not blessed. Have you covered it? Amen. Have you done it right? And verse 2 says, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. It could be lawlessness. And sometimes iniquity carries about the manner in which you sin. Right? Because when David sinned with Bathsheba, he tried to cover it. God called that iniquity. And in Psalm 51, David said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and committed this great transgression. Right? So the opposite of having your sins covered is you try to cover it. Amen? He said, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deception. God is, I'm wrong, but I don't want everybody else to know I'm wrong, so I'm going to try to cover it. This is God. So I got to cover this, so when people look at me, I don't want to look bad. You know what I'm like? Nobody wants to look bad, right? But the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel, neither. And he keeps a record of all your wrongs. So who do you want to impress more? Right? I guess Elder Gibbs called it reverence. Right? Who do you want to reverence more? God or a man? All right? Now go to Proverbs 28:13. Now that's the man that's blessed, whose sins are covered, whose transgressions are forgiven, and whom there is no iniquity, means you're trying to cover your way out of this. You can't cover what God exposes, right? Love conceals and covers. Judgment exposes, right? So in judgment, you get exposed because you are not forgiven. Proverbs 28:13 said, he that, can we all read this together? No, no, we'll keep everybody awake. It's on the screen. Don't look at your Bible, because if you look at the Bible, y'all can trick me. You can be looking at your Bible and be moving your mouth. Years ago, I think of Elder Gibbs, he was with me. He said, man, how do you do that? Remember that? Years ago, but I ain't gonna bring that up. Just leave it there. You and I know what it was. Who's that? Me? I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago. I don't know, about 3 weeks. Could have been yesterday. Could have been today. Hey, man. Sometimes when you look down, you can be going through all emotions and seeing everything, but you're not really with me. So let's look at it on the screen, okay? So we can read this together. He that what? He that covereth his sin. Somebody said, I'm not prospering. What is your sin situation in your life? Have you confessed it and forsaken it? Because the Bible said, if you confess and forsake your sin, you will have mercy. But he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh this shall have
mercy.
How many needs a mercy? Get it right. So love covers. Amen. But when you try to cover it, you mess up. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're talking about love that covers and pardons and forgives. And don't bring it up anymore. Yes, you wronged me, but I forgave you the moment it happened. Amen. We passed the tape around early in our ministry. Forgiving is forgiveness. Y'all remember that? Amen. Forgiving is forgiveness. And the preacher said, when you don't forgive, you are incarcerated with that spirit of unforgiveness. When you don't forgive, that spirit keeps you bound. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to read... I don't want to read all of this. I'm going to skip around. Let's start off reading. We'll read verse 1. Then after verse 1, we're going to skip down to verse 8, okay? Verse 1, and then we'll skip down to verse 8, and then we mourn for the sake of time. Do we all have this? Yeah. Scripture verse 1 reads, for as much then as Christ has, how can he suffer for us? In the flesh. sound was a what? To do what? Suffer in the flesh. For he that suffereth in the flesh has... He that suffereth in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now let's get down to verse 8. And above all things have not just regular love, but have a burning desire for love. This is fervent charity. Can we say fervent charity?
Fervent charity.
Among everybody else.
Yourselves.
Among who? Yourselves. For charity shall cover. For this charity is agape. Agape is God's love. That love is unconditional. What agape love means, you did me wrong and you deserve that I should retaliate, but because I want to do it like God, I want to forgive you. Right? You did me wrong. You know you did me wrong. You know what you did was wrong, but I still forgive you. I'm not going to bring it up. Amen. I'm not going to be... Say, I forgive you today, and 2 weeks later, bring it up, because it's under the blood. And that sin should be what? Covered. So it says that fervent charity will cover all that wrong that someone has done you. When you love right, it's now covered. Amen. Y'all still with me? All right, now, let's go down to verse 13. We're talking about the spirit of love and forgiveness. Amen. You know, I think if I were to hold people wrong that have wronged me, I'd never be forgiven because I've wronged a lot of people too. You know, I look back over my life and I ask God, forgive me for this, forgive me for that. So many things I ask God to forgive me for. So I can't hold anybody else's wrong against them, no matter who they are. No matter who they are. God does not give us an exception or exclusionary clause to say, you can love everybody, but the one that did you the most wrong, you can't do that. And who's our greatest example for that? Jesus. When Judas had betrayed him and came to Jesus in the garden, while they were watching and praying, he said, betray the Son of Man with a kiss. And he called him friend. That's the greatest example. Betrayed, sold out. Sold like a slave for 30 pieces of silver. Right? And he called him friend. How many people have done so much for us that we can't call them a friend? This is for the internet. This ain't for y'all. So don't be quiet on me. All right? I'm just talking about forgiveness and showing love God's way. Verse 13 reads, but rejoice, in as much as ye are, we all, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Arm yourself with the what? Same mind. For the he that has ceased from sin will have some struggles in the flesh. You know why? Because the flesh always wants to retaliate. The flesh always wants to have visions. But you know what? Love says, you know what? You want to retaliate, but it's covered. That wrong you did is covered. That misgiving, misdeed you did me, it is covered. And I'm not going to bring it up anymore. Amen. Because God is good. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, if you're going through it for Jesus' sake, the Bible says you should be happy for the spirit of
glory
and of
God
resteth on you. On their part he is, but on your part he is
glorified.
Yes, I'm suffering. I'm dealing with some wrong issues. But I'm going to do it God's way. Because then I know he will be glorified. Yes, they're evil speaking of me, but God will be glorified. Now, once again, we're going through the application, but then we're going to deal with the actual principle of it in a few minutes, okay? Amen. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, if you're going through it for Jesus' sake, you ought to be. You're, Now, if you're doing it for your own sake, don't be happy. But if you're doing it with the same mind that Christ, Scripture says, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and God rest upon you. Oh, I already did that one. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. And if we had kept reading in 1 John, the Bible said, if anyone hates his brother, he is a murderer. Amen. And the Scripture says, now this is all about what? Love. God is love. He said, but if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Then John asked in the latter portion of chapter 4, asked this question. How can you love God who you cannot see? And you hate your brother who? That's a contrast. I love God, but you can't stand that person. You know, when they get in my vicinity, I get messed up. You need to get over it. Because that ain't Christ. That's not love. That's not God. Because that love covers and forgives. Love covers and forgives. So, well, you don't know what they did to me in 1916. All right, so everybody will be all right, right? You know, y'all alive in 1916. But I'm saying, we just keep bringing stuff back. You know what? That's the devil wants. Because as long as you keep harping on everybody else's failure, you're incarcerated to that spirit of bondage. And you won't be free. Amen? You said, let none of yourself as a murderer, as a thief, or as an that's a big thing in church. Busybody means you minding other people's business. In Thessalonians, the Bible said, let us study to be quiet and to mind your own business. Somebody says, isn't that? Yes, it is. Study to be and to mind your own business. God doesn't want the church being. The church is not supposed to be a rumor mill. All right? So a brother or sister or somebody has fallen, don't bring it to the forefront and make it headline news in the church. Gossip 101. We're supposed to pray for them. That God will recover them. Amen. We're supposed to cover them with love. Y'all with me? Yeah. Somebody messed up and you can't wait to tell it. So I thought I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Some stuff you need to keep to yourself. We're not supposed to be, can we say the church?
The church.
Who in the church? Give me a wave offering. Come on, you young people, give me a wave offering. Y'all in the church too. You ain't supposed to keep a whole lot of mess going. Because love covers. When you start running your mouth about a whole lot of stuff, that's uncovering. So love covers. Judgment uncovers. Love forgives. Judging and judgment holds on to you. Right, so we need to be forgiving. Amen? I'm on course. Don't get nervous. And if I get off course, I left half my notes in the back, so I wouldn't even mess up. Oh, no, I didn't. I left right here. My wife said, you have too many notes. So these 8 pages of notes, I didn't even bring them up there with me. I got the other 8 pages to figure out. Because I told you I had prepared my message, and then when I got ready to go home, I got another one. It's like, man, I can't keep y'all here all night. Anybody want to stay all night? No, I don't want to see them all night. All right. But I'm saying, on the sober, serious side of life, we hold on to too much stuff in church. We are busy. If we study to be quiet and to do our own business, we won't focus on anybody else. Because I'm trying to make it in. And I want to lock myself with this same mind that Jesus had. Even when the woman was caught in adultery, the Lord began to write down, his scripture says, he stooped down and began to write on the ground. Amen. And he said, from the oldest to the youngest, when he read what he was writing, left. Now Jesus already knew. And when he looked up, there was nobody but him, and that's why I want to be low. When I mess up, when I look up, when you look up, I just want you to see me. He said, woman, where are thy? accusers. Those are men's bodies. People always point a finger, keeping more mess going in church than the world come to church. You got so much mess going on in church, it's the highest friend to go back out in the world. Right? Because Sunday is supposed to be in. Because the church is supposed to have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. And love covers. Right? So when you become a busybody, you're not covering, you are exposing. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. He said, but let none of you suffer as a busybody in. So when you're a busybody, you're not taking care of your own situation. You're in. Oh, did you hear what happened to such and such child? Oh, we knew that was going to happen. Those kids are so. That ain't God. That's all right. All right. Get to the amen. That's all right. Still ain't God. All right. Oh, I could just tell that's going to happen. That's not God. We're supposed to cover, not expose. Amen. The church is supposed to cover, not expose. So when you're a busybody, you're in somebody else's business. In other men's matters. When the scripture says that the God sent his own son to be the propitiation. The mercy, study the mercy seat. Amen. Because the mercy seat had the cherubims and God will come. When he come what? Down the other gifts? Right? He didn't go up, right? He came down and God would deal with them between the cherubims and the mercy seats. God said, I will speak to you through the mercy seat. And once a year, the high priest went in and made atonement for the people and himself at the... I heard the late, great Bishop Golden say that the mercy seat, Jesus took his blood, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, and the mercy seat became the great throne, became the throne of grace. Amen. So we can go to God for ourselves now. Wow. The Bible said we ought to come boldly to the throne of grace. Then we may obtain mercy. So the mercy seat in the Old Testament became the throne of grace in the because Jesus spread his blood. So we are all covered. So I go to the throne of grace and I don't go sheepishly because I know what is done for me. So I come. In my time of need, you with me? Amen. Amen. So, verse 16 said, yet if any man suffer as a, if you suffer like Christ, that's what a Christian means to be what? Christ-like. Sometimes you look in the church and say, Christ-like, oh, I'm like Christ. Right? I'm gonna give y'all some tags. I'm gonna make up some tags. You can't fight. You can't get mad. So when somebody says, I'm like Christ, just stick the tag on them. Right? When they act like Christ, you can put the tag on them, like Christ. And I wonder, what kind of tag would you be getting stuck on you? I ain't gonna make a buck because I don't want nobody fighting in church. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, if we were to do it, what label would you have on you? I'm like. He said, but if any of you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that not has passed, but the time has come that judgment must begin at the
house of God.
And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that I say, you know what? I pray, I fast, I read my Bible. I've been saved for 75 years. He said, even through all of that, he said, the righteous are going to. The righteous are going to. Don't pat yourself on the back. With all that we're doing that we know to do right, we're going to just make it in. The righteous shall scarcely be saved, but what shall be the end of thee? When ungodly and the sinner. So now, The sinner is not the
ungodly.
Who are the ungodly? Those ones in church that gave up their testimony. Right? Because to be on, you had to first have been
godly.
Y'all see what I mean? So where are the ones that started off? You did run well. Well, what in the world is hindering you now? You did run well. Where are the ungodly? What did you up here? Amen. Actually, I do have some more scriptures on judgment, but I don't have time. So let us go to Genesis, the 50th chapter. The 50th chapter of Genesis. Amen. Love covers. Judgment uncovers. Busy bodies uncover. Amen. Love is like Christ. Busy body, not like Christ. Amen. We want to suffer as a Christian. Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
All right. Let me see. Genesis. I hope I got the right notes. I was trying to leave stuff so I didn't get carried away. All right. Go to Genesis, the 50th chapter. Somewhere in here I have to write. Give me one quick minute here. Because I didn't really go in order, because if I went in order, we'd be here too long. Now, he said, the mind can only bear as much as to seek and endure. All right, so I don't want y'all to cease out there and do too much. Let's go to verse 12. Now, we all know the story of Joseph, right? Joseph had a dream. He actually had two dreams. And because of his dream, his brothers hated him, and eventually they sold him as a slave. Amen. So now Joseph is in Egypt. He's second in charge only to Pharaoh. Amen. And there is a famine in the land, which the Lord showed Joseph, showed Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh said, I can't find a more wise and sweet man than you. So he said, I'm going to put you in charge. So in the course of this, there's a famine. The famine comes and Joseph's brothers come down to Egypt to get bread. And Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. Now remember, Joseph was in his situation that was getting worse for 13 years. So that was 7 years of plenty, so that makes it 20 years. So we know it's at least 20 years between when Joseph is sold into slavery and he now meets his brothers. He recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. But I'm going to come back to that. I want to get to this part to show you what love does. Amen. How love will cover even when they are wrong. Now, if most of the people, not us, but other people were Joseph, man, you waiting on a chance to get back? I've been waiting for this a long time. Y'all know y'all think like that. Come on. Like, y'all like, no, not me. I've been waiting to get back. All right, verse 12 of the 50th chapter, right? Jacob, whose father dies, he said, now when I die, take me back to my land. Don't bury me in this country. He said, take me back. All right, and I believe he buried him in the cave of Abraham. He said, don't bury me here. Even Joseph said, when I die, you leave. And Joseph knew God's going to get him. He said, don't leave me in this place, but take my bones. But verse 12 says, after Jacob had died, and his sons did unto him according as he commanded them, he told them, don't leave me there, and he took him back. For his son carried him into the land of Canaan, and buried him in a cave in the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. All right? And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was, so when you judge, you're wrong, you don't forget. You just keep holding on to it, right? Joseph wasn't thinking about this. But when you're wrong, and you haven't got it, you know, I'm just curious. When you ever think about when Jacob finally met Joseph, he said, boy, what happened to you? You think Joseph told him what happened? But the scripture never makes reference to that wrong stuff, right? I'm sure when Jacob, the Bible says he fell upon him and kissed him, when he said, he had to ask him, well, Joseph, what happened? But the scripture never makes reference to the fact that Jacob took out anything on those boys for that wrong. That's love. Right? Wouldn't you, as a parent, and you ever seen your child in 20 years and thought he was dead and he's alive, would you ask him, what happened? I'm sure he asked what happened. And I'm sure Joseph, being the godly person he did, because the scripture said, all who Joseph walked, the Lord was with him. Amen. But let's get back to this. When Joseph's brother saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will prevent your hate us. Right? Because that judgment, that wrong was still in them. This is many, many years later. Like 40, 50 years, 40 years. And so the wrong is still in them. Because they never got it. So either way, I said, well, that happened 20 years, 15, it's still in you if you didn't get it. So they said, he will hate us and will certainly require us all the evil which we did unto him. They said, we know who he did was evil, right? And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, now did Jacob do this? Absolutely not, but they were still in iniquity. They were still in God. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered, and whom is no iniquity and is no. So now they're in iniquity because they're plotting and conniving, and they're in God because they're not being truthful. So it's hard to be forgiven when you're wrong. Well, let's look at what somebody said. Let's look at Joseph. How many know Joseph was a type of Christ? But we're not here for that. Let's keep going. Amen. It said, messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, thee, after all these years, it was still in him. Because he had not made it right. But when you love, you just get over it. Why did they wait? I'm just curious. Let's just do a little thing. Why did they wait till the father died? Wouldn't they have wanted to make it right? Right? But when you're wrong, the spirit is wrong. When there's God, iniquity means to be lawless. It means to connive, but lawless means you don't honor or reverence. Can I borrow your word? Yes, reverence. So you do it your way. To me, if my brother just rescued me, I want to make it right now. Not after my father. But they still didn't have it right yet. They still had some iniquity in them, some foolishness. Amen. And they said, I pray thee now, forgive the trespass of thy brother, and love covers sin. Right? They're sin. For they did unto thee evil now. We pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy fathers and Joseph. Because he had a right, how many want a right spirit? Even though someone has wronged you, I got a right spirit. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart of God, thou wilt not. God won't despise a broken spirit. Amen. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Right. Amen. Because they still haven't got it right. All of these years, it's still they messed up. And Joseph said unto them, he said, don't worry. He said, I'm not going to do what God has to do. I'm not in the place of God. But as for you, there's some yous out there. Right? There's some yous out there in all of our lives. They did it for evil. As for you, ye thought evil. There's some yous that thought. But what is your spirit going to do? How are you going to handle this? Are you going to handle this in love, cover, and pardon? Are you going to have a lot of judgment? Right? And you can't wait to tell somebody to expose and keep a whole lot of mess going. Not in the church, but wherever it's at. Right? Y'all with me? I'm just saying, Joseph said, yeah, you meant it for some people have done some stuff in your life. And they meant it for, but when you got the right spirit, God will make a way out of after you throw evil against me, but God meant it. I just gotta have the right spirit. I don't understand why that happened, but I know that all things. Can we say all things?
All things.
I don't understand why, but all things work together for to them that if you love God, you have the assurance. I'm not looking at where I am, but by faith, I'm claiming where I'm going to be. Because the just don't walk by sight, but the just walk by faith. So where I'm at right now, hallelujah, it might not be pleasant. But I know the Lord has taken me to another level. By after you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to bring the message to this thing to save. When God is with you, he don't save a few people, he saves. Right, so take the focus off of you and let God be God. And when God is God, he want to save people through you. Now therefore fear ye not, he said, I will nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them and spake after all of this, he had gotten over it. Because he had true love. Now we're going back, but now let's go to Genesis 42, and we're going to show you the mindset of people that won't get their transgressions forgiven and their sins covered. Let's see the mindset of those people. Y'all with me? Shadow. What time is it?
45.
Oh, so I gotta be like, what's the name? Lord, turn that, hold that clock. Turn the green, turn it back 10 degrees. No, I might be a little low, but I'm gonna get over it. Hold that clock. Stand still. Sun, stand still. Moon, don't move out your place. No. Y'all know that scripture, right? Amen. Genesis chapter 42, the mindset, the contract, trash, not having love and forgiving, and not getting things right. When you don't get it right, it's like a nagging pain. It just will not. How do you know it's like 40 or 50 years later and they were still harping on that same thing because they didn't get over it, amen? I'm gonna go through this fast for your sake. Verse 5 reads, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn, verse 6, and Joseph, we know, was the governor, and they bowed themselves down to their face to him, verse 7, and Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and he spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brothers, but they did not know him. And Joseph remembered the dream. Right? God gave him a dream. But Joseph, now, it didn't happen when they thought it, but everything happens in God's own time. Right? So Joseph, and this is over 20 years later. Some people say, well, God made that promise. He didn't say when. He just said he's going to do it. The scripture in Hebrews 11 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, amen, but they were persuaded, they were believed, they embraced it, they had seen it afar off. How many haven't got it? Just hold on. Keep embracing it. Keep believing God in spite of it. All right? Verse 9, and Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land. And he said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food. We are all one man's son, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, son of one man, and one of our brothers is not, because they knew they had sold them into slavery. And Joseph said unto them, that it is that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother. And ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, ye surely are spies. And he put them all together in war for what? 3 days. Can we say 3 days?
Yes.
All right, I'm almost finished. Don't lose me yet. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of the house. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, ye shall not die. And they did so. Now, love covers, but when you don't get it right, that wrong lingers in you. You don't forget it. I don't know, we keep going. And they said one to another, we are very guilty. Well, who brought his brother up? Right? Because he had not got it right. Right? So when you don't get it right, that spirit binds you. Because you didn't get it right. You didn't show love. You didn't cover it. You didn't confess and forsake it. So that still. Now, who said anything about a brother? Right? But when you're in judgment, all that stuff you did was wrong. Just starts ringing through your mind because you never got it. Never got it. All they had to do is say, Dad, we sold our brother into slavery. He's probably alive somewhere. After all these years, they were still living the lie. Right? So when you don't make it right, you live. Terry said, live the lie. This ain't for y'all. Y'all gonna relax with me? This is for those that live it. The lie. So they've been living the lie for 20, 30, 40 years. So nobody said anything to them about. Did y'all read me when that scripture where he said anything about Joseph? But their conscience is a mean of accusing or excusing them. So they were wrong and they got it right. So now their conscience is beating them up. Amen. They said, well, we are very guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, 40 years later, well, not 40, probably about 20, 25 years later, not really 40. The father would be about 40. About 20, 25 years later, they still are dealing with that issue because they never got it right. Right? 25, let's say 20 plus. We don't know where it is, so we're going to make up stuff. Somebody say, why are you making up numbers? I ain't making up numbers. I was talking to somebody today, they were talking about somebody and said, they gave specific numbers. Right, Brooke? They ain't giving no numbers, right? And we just go over 20 years. Right? Over 20 years that they had not right was still bothering them because of their conscience. And Reuben answered them, saying, didn't I tell you? He said, I spake unto you. Right? They have this conversation not knowing that Joseph can understand them in front of them. Right? Now, it's not one, it's all of them. Can we say all of them? When you're wrong, sin don't miss you. When you messed up and they got it right, it gets you. Don't matter how long, amen, you may have forgotten it for a little while, but guess what? In your judgment, you will remember. It's like the woman who Elijah had raised his son from the dead, and the son died, and she went to Elijah. She said, are you called to call my sins to remembrance? She said, wait a minute. You blessed me with a son, and the son died? She said, is this because you call it mine? She said, I remember the sins to remember, but that's not where we at. But that's just a note for you to take if you want to look it up. Amen? And Reuben answered them, saying, spake not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Well, why was his blood required? Because he had never got in, as we all sin. Love pardons and forgives. But when you haven't got it right, that thing will linger. That part of you will just, your conscience. Let me go to Romans chapter 2. I'm going to read this in Romans chapter 2, and we'll close here. Romans chapter 2, and verse, we're talking about their conscience being the means of accusing or excusing them. And Paul tells them, he said, Jesus Christ is going to judge you according to my gospel. Amen. Let me go here. It says in verse 11 of Romans chapter 2, verse 11, we'll close here. And we're just trying to be right. It don't matter what we think. Your conscience, I don't care how long ago it is, will be the means of what? Accusing or excusing. Verse 11. For there is no respect of persons. God has no respect of persons. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers are justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law. We show the words of the law. Lord, just write it in my heart. If it's in my heart, no matter what happens, I'm going to do what's right. Written in their heart, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their, you know, it's in my conscience, my thoughts. I've been trying, I just can't get it right. You know why? Because that word of God is not in your heart like it ought to be. So your conscience won't let you get free. You see all kind of messed up from all these years because you just won't get it right. Amen? While their conscience also bearing witness in their very thoughts, the means while accusing or excusing one another. Lord, I just want to be right. I want my conscience to be clear. I want to have a pure heart for all of the pure in heart. I don't want to, there's no use for me disguising or masquerading or as you said, being in guile and just acting one way and knowing it's another way. It says, for in the day when God shall, so your conscience, your heart, there are some secret things. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men's hearts by the gospel. The gospel, when you hear the word of truth, it goes where nobody else can go. The gospel can get down in that part of the heart that you may have forgotten for years. But the gospel is trying to free you. Because the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there should be too many in church are bound because the heart is not yet made right. And the love of God is not down there like it ought to be. So some issues, some things that should have been resolved years ago, we are still holding on to it. God will bring those things to remembrance. The Bible says that God is going to judge the secrets of man's heart. And in Ecclesiastes, he said, O young man, do as you please. Live as you want to live. But know thou this, for all, can we say all these things? God is going to bring you into, God's going to bring us into judgment. That's the elders and the ministers come forward. Judgment binds. Judgment exposes you. Love covers. Amen. And love forgives. I just want to be what God wants me to be. I want to live like a Christian. If there's some issues that I have not made right, the thing about God is they don't go away on their own. You got to make them right. Amen. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Evangelist.